Yeah, it's news according to me. Yeah, let's just get this show on the road this morning. I don't think my intro music was as loud as it's supposed to be. I don't know what happened there. My engineer apparently didn't do his job. He's fired. Hey, let the engineer. Hey, Bobby Joe over there. Let the engineer know he's fired. It has to go through several people. I don't actually talk directly to anybody here because I'm way at the top and there's all kinds of levels when it gets down. By the time it gets down to the engineer, you know, that's way down there. That's way below my pay grade to talk to those people. It's not below my pay grade, however, to the person who makes my chai every morning. I can't trust anybody to do that. I have to do it myself. So I have vanilla chai here with organic creamer again, still. And good news, my wife went shopping yesterday. We went over to Costco, and she decided to get me two more of those because they were right there. So I get organic creamer for the next, 6 months probably. I don't know how long it's going to last me, but probably not 6 months, maybe a month, 2 months, maybe. We'll see how it goes. Some interesting news about the show, about the channel here. Listenership is up again, and it continues to kind of, it has its ups and downs, but it's been peaking, peekaboo. It's been peekabooing up there a little higher than normal, and I'm not sure what that's about. Apparently, this thing's catching on to some degree. I mean, among, 5 or 6 people out there. So that's good to know. Just a little side note about the show. Let's kind of get into this. I do have some things to do today, so I don't have a whole lot of time to do the show this morning. But however, because it's I know that you guys pay a lot of money to listen to this, and I hate to give you, I'm going to make sure you get your money's worth out of it. So. Probably be better just to come on and tell you that there is no show. And you can thank me for saving you about an hour of your life. That's probably about the best way. Just be grateful the rest of the day. Tell you what, Kevin, we'll just pay you to shut up. This subscription is just a subscription to shut up. Yeah, there you go. That'd be interesting. I wonder how much better the show would be. I'd probably be more successful with that. Maybe. Interesting. I'll have to think about that. There is an interview coming up. Hopefully I can get this scheduled. It's gotta be sometime, hopefully this month yet. I do have my schedule for next month now already, which is kind of surprising because it's usually, I don't get it till another, like next week. I will be heading off to Atlanta tomorrow and I'll be coming back Friday. I have a couple days. I have 1 day home basically. And then I head off to St. Louis for a couple days. And then I have a couple days home. So hopefully I'll be able to get this interview in with this other fella who sometimes listens to the show. And he may have listened. He may be listening right now. If he is listening right now, he can Morse code me back his response to that. Anyway, almost as if on cue. I don't know if you remember last week on my show. I think it was might have been Thursday's show. I don't think it was Friday's show. I think it was Thursday's. Maybe or was there? I don't know. It was one of the shows last week. I don't think it was Friday's show. Maybe it was. It was right after Donald Trump had announced, or not right after, but soon after Donald Trump had announced that he was going to run. So this is probably on the. It wasn't on the 16th. He announced on the 15th, and I think it may have been some other time. Can't remember exactly when that was exactly. So, but I said that, now that he's come out and announced this, it was strange that the DOJ had been very quiet for a little while, hadn't been doing anything, hadn't been much in the news about the DOJ. And then all of a sudden, I believe it was Friday or Thursday or Friday, they announced that they were going to, I think it was Friday. It's Friday. And they always do this stuff on Fridays. This is the way it always goes. Because they know that the news cycle, people are getting ready for the weekend, they don't pay attention. If it happened during the week, then that gives all the pundits all week long something to talk about. They try to keep that out of the news cycle. Because this stuff is a political theater. They're all playing the media. Whether it's social media or regular news broadcasts, whatever it is. In fact, there's a story from Forbes I'm about to get into about a little bit, talk about this kind of stuff. How they like to manipulate this kind of thing. Example after example of the way they do this kind of thing. So Donald Trump announces his candidacy, and 2 days later, 2 or 3 days later, whatever it was, special counsel to look into the Trump document issue. Now, let's put this into some perspective here. Merrick Garland says that the January 6th insurrection is at the top priority of this administration. Department of Justice, their top priority is January 6th. Not the murder of pro-lifers, not the murders Let's just say there's a lot bigger things happening in this country right now. There's a new book that has just come out, and I can't remember the name of it. I wish I knew the name of it. Gorka, who is on Newsmax, had an interview with some of the people who were part of the documentary that was put out recently. I guess it was a documentary. It wasn't a book. Sorry, I don't know if they wrote a book too as well, but I think it was a documentary. Talks about this one fellow who made a deal. He decided to go ahead and plead guilty to get like 6 months in prison for the things they were charging him with. They turned around, and the next day after he pled guilty, within a couple of days, he finds out that they're going to charge him, they're going to enhance his charges to some kind of terrorist charges, which meant going from 6 months to 6 years, 6 to 8 years in prison. And the guy just couldn't take it. He was just mentally not able to take it at that point. And he hung himself. To hear his mother talk about that was heart-wrenching. On top of that, you've got all these other people who were, this other fellow who was in the Walk Away movement, which is I think his name's Stark. Jeffrey Stark, is that his name? I don't know what it is. Strake, that's his name. I can't remember his first name, Mr. Strake. He was there at the Capitol. When he got to the Capitol, the doors were open, and everybody was telling him that they opened the doors and they let everybody in. So he walked in. He took about 5 minutes of video, 5 or 10 minutes of video, and then walked back out again. He barely went in. He went up to the top of the thing or whatever it was, took some video of the inside, what was going on, and he left. They raided his home, busted in, hauled him off to jail. The thing that they don't like about this guy, he's a political opponent, and the thing that they don't like about him, he's had a target on him for a long time now because he was part of the Walk Away movement, and the Walk Away movement, he actually started the Walk Away movement, and the Walk Away movement was, he was a Democrat, always voted Democrat, and walked away. And he started this movement, trying to convince others to do it. And millions of people did. So they went after him. Now we have a presidential candidate who has been attacked and attacked and attacked and attacked constantly. All the while, we know that the FBI has known about the Hunter Biden laptop for years. Nothing. They continue to try to sweep it under the rug. And they can't comment on it because it's an ongoing investigation. They'll pull it out and use it when they need to use it, when they want to get rid of Joe. All of a sudden, there'll be this big revelation. Now, the problem is they got themselves painted into a corner with this whole thing because it's been very public. It's been keeps being dragged out into the public. And the thing that's being dragged out, of course, is that it's real, first of all. And then you have these 50 people in the intelligence agency that say it has all the earmarks of Russian propaganda. And of course, I talked about that last week. What are these earmarks we're talking about? They won't explain exactly what those earmarks are. They just say, oh, it has all the earmarks of that. We're supposed to just say, okay, oh, okay. I guess that's right then. You say it, it's so. You say it, so. So I guess it's so. We'll just have to believe you. Yeah. No, I don't believe you. Sorry. Sorry, not sorry. So, the process of all this stuff is, of course, frightening, really, in some ways, the way the FBI is playing favorites in this whole thing. But they have a political slant. So out comes this FTX issue, this Bankman kid. Bankman Fried, or whatever his name is. Not a kid. He's in his 30s, I believe. But he acts like a kid. He came across as this altruistic, very common individual who just drives a Toyota. Billionaire. He's going to be the next J.P. Morgan. The leftist financial people, they were all just, they thought this guy was just a genius, just incredible. In fact, he was playing Warcraft or something on his computer while he was on the phone doing a $210 million deal with some bank. And the only reason they gave him, they invested the money with him is because they thought he was, well, this guy's got to be a genius if he's sitting here talking about this money thing. He's playing a video game. At the same time, he's got to be a genius. This is intriguing. We need to just throw the money at him. Well, they lost all that. The thing that's not being talked about is the ties that this guy has with all these leftist organizations and especially leftist candidates. He was in an interview and he said, I've probably got 10 texts on my phone right now during this interview and probably half of those are politicians looking for donations. And he didn't say which side of the aisle they were, but it's very clear that he gave what kind of money he gave. Now, one of his partners gave money as well, not as much, not nearly as much. George Soros was the only person who gave more money to leftist organizations than this guy did. Now, somebody in his organization, I guess is the way it's being touted now, is that somebody in his organization gave some money to some right-wing politicians because they were trying to buy him off or whatever was going on with him. He was an anti-Trumper, donated money to causes and financed things that were against Trump, which is, you know, that's his prerogative. He can do that all he wants. But I'm just saying, I'm just trying to align where this guy is, help you understand what this guy is. And they will not go after him. He's still loose right now. He's under surveillance in the Bahamas, probably guarding him, actually. one of those people who probably will end up, you know, hanging himself with a straw or something. I don't know. Who knows? So this kid is tied. Now we're finding out that the ties go into Ukraine. And that other individuals globally were involved with this kid. This thing, we'll never know. Well, it's part of an ongoing investigation. We can't comment on it. How long is this investigation going to go? Well, probably 25, 30 years. Long after all, you're all dead. We'll still be doing this. Can't talk about it. Meanwhile, someone within the organization now has been called the darling of the right, the alt-right. Of course, not everybody's alt-right now. If you're, you know, this MAGA crowd, this extreme MAGA crowd is alt-right. Now, whether you're consider yourself a MAGA crowd person or not, it's what they consider you that you should be concerned about. If you merely just voted for Trump or favor Trump or anything right now they vilify the entire Republican Party. If you support any Republican candidate, you are part of the lie. Unless it's Liz Cheney or Adam Kinzinger or Mitt Romney. Those are safe Republicans. Any other Republican is an insurrectionist. They support the lie. That's their view. This is what they think. They're acting as if they're in the majority of Americans. They're acting as if they have the corner on truth, that everyone else is lying and everyone else is not living in reality, when in fact, they're the ones who are living in this deranged world. And literally, I mean deranged, as in they have created such a monster in Donald Trump. I was just thinking about this yesterday. Adam Schiff came out on the congressional floor. Is he a senator? I think he's a senator. Is he a congressman? I don't know what he is. Well, I know what he is, but I'm not going to, I don't know what office he holds. So he's in Congress. So he's up there talking, and he reads off this thing. This is before the whole war broke out. This is back when, you know, Donald Trump was still president. Comes out and says, and he reads this story, this made-up story about this phone call that Donald Trump had with Zelensky. And he comes out and he reads it like a mobster. Okay, so see, this is where it's going to go, you know. You're going to do this, and then I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do that. And you see, this is how it works, see, or else you're not going to get that, see. He comes out with this whole thing, this little made-up story about how he thought the phone call went. And he read it as if it was a transcript. It was all made up. But the public thought he was reading it verbatim, as if he had heard the phone call, as if he was right there listening to the phone call. And that's all he needed. That's all he needed. That just needed to get out there in the public. So because this is the monster that they think he is. That he's violent. This violent insurrection that he perpetrated and promoted. You can't find anywhere in any of Donald Trump's tweets, in any of his speeches, where he promoted anything violent on January 6th. Nothing. Now, what's interesting about all this, and I'm going to pull up I almost forgot about this. I'm glad I thought about it. Glad I reminded myself. There is a short here. YouTube now has these things called shorts. I'm wearing my shorts right now. I have other clothes on as well, but I'm not just in my shorts. The company, let's see here, the person who put this out, where was the channel that did this? It was a little short this morning. It was on my phone. It's in my notifications. We'll go over to notifications. I can find it real quick here. Go right down here, down over here. I believe it's not there. Here we go. This is it right here. This is about Mike Pence. All of a sudden, Mike Pence doesn't want to cooperate with January 6th. He talks about the separation of powers. Where was Mike Pence when they were going after Donald Trump and the separation of powers, and Donald Trump was trying to push back, and he was busy, because he sat down to write his book. He was busy writing his book. He probably even printed it and did all the binding. Yeah, he probably was had his printers running at his house there, his little inkjet printer running. He probably had his kids doing all the gluing the book together, the binding and stuff. Because, you know, he did all that by himself. He didn't have any ghostwriters or anybody, you know, making that book for him. No, that didn't happen. That's why he was so distracted. He couldn't really pay attention to what was going on there with Trump, with Mar-a-Lago and all the stuff that was going on there. So this is what happened. This is his new, this is a thing where what happens is you can play these little shorts. They have these little shorts thing. And it's just like I don't know how long they can be. Some of these shorts seem like they're pretty long sometimes. But it's like a thing that repeats. It's kind of like a tweet. I think YouTube's trying to compete with this little, you know, because people are bad enough with their attention span right now. So they have to just put these little shorts out. Now, if you play a short, you can actually be listening to a video and see something like in the scroll down below, and you can hit the short button, and it'll play the short, then it'll go back to the video. It just kind of, it's like a brief interlude. You can just play this kind of stuff while you're watching. And a lot of times I'll put things that are related to what you're watching on the video or what your search was or whatever. But I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a life coach or financial counselor. Not a brain surgeon or an epidemiologist. Just a guy with a microphone. So take it for what you will. I tend to be a little bit of a, I might consider myself a YouTube bro just because I watch so much of it. That's what I do. It's kind of my thing. So let's take a look at this. This is Robert Gouveia in his little short here. He's got, now you're going to hear him as well on this thing. He's going to talk about it a little bit, and then you're going to go into Mike Pence doing his talk. And of course it repeats over and over. So when it gets to the repeating part, I'll try to stop it then at that point, but we'll go here it is. This is Mike Pence
saying, you know what, on second thought, I don't think that I have any obligation at all to testify in front of the J6 committee because of the separation of powers.
From the time that January 6th was formed and every member was appointed by the Democrat Speaker of the House, I was concerned.
But your chief of staff spoke to them, Mark Shore, legal counsel, Greg Jacobs, testified.
I'll get to that.
Want to engage with them at all?
No, I served for 12 years in the Congress. It's inconceivable to me that one party would appoint every member of a committee in Congress. That's antithetical to the whole idea of the committee system. Mm-hmm. That being said, I never stood in the way of senior members of my team cooperating with the committee and testifying. But Congress has no right to my testimony.
Exactly right.
We have a separation of powers under the Constitution of the United States.
This is Mike Pence saying, you know what?
So there you go. That was Mike Pence talking about how the separation of powers, and he's not going to participate in the process, which I agree with. And obviously, Robert Gouveia, who is also defense attorney in Arizona, has a show called Watching the Watchers. But he also has a channel called Robert Gouveia, so you can look that up. It's good stuff. He's very, very good, very, very astute in terms of legal matters. I am not. He is. I am not. He's a lawyer. He actually is a lawyer. He's not a doctor, though. And he's not a financial counselor. And that's all I want to say about that. So all this stuff goes on. Well, again, Forbes now has been dragged into this whole story with the FTX thing. FTX, of course, is the They had a Bitcoin of their own, or a crypto coin called FTT. And this guy it was a Ponzi scheme. He was getting investors. They were putting money into this thing, and he was using that money to buy actual other crypto, and then he would get loans based on that, and he was loaning himself money with his own little bank. He was like his own little banker. The dirty little secret here is this would never have been found out if someone hadn't dug into it. His competitor actually was looking at what he was doing. And this guy found, of course, the other guy's a little bit shady as well. But he looks into what this guy's doing, and he realizes, hey, this is a Ponzi scheme. So he starts tweeting about it. One tweet, basically, that this guy did that kind of set all this stuff in motion that brought him down. Now, you know, what ended up happening was it started to crumble all at once, and people started pulling out. And of course, once that happens, like the Bernie Madoff thing, a Ponzi scheme will work great, and it will keep going forever until someone actually wants to pull their money out. I was part of an investment group. I actually started an investment group back in the 90s, and I was using, back then, the rules were a little bit different, and we had an LLC, me and another guy, we had this little corporation, and we called it an investment company. It was a holding company. People could invest their money into this thing, and then we used those funds to purchase equipment that company would then lease that equipment to another company. They had a ready-made market because the other company would lease that equipment from them. So that company was leasing the equipment on a per-hour basis. So the company that owned the machinery, the equipment, would lease it to this other company. But they also could lease it to anybody else they wanted to. And it was just a per-hour lease type thing. So the holding company was the one paying out interest. They paid a straight line 10% per year interest, and they would pay you every quarter. They would pay you 2.5, you know, they'd pay you the divisible 10%, which is 2.5% per quarter. But you made 10% on your money every year, which at that time was pretty good back in the 90s. So it was called a straight line interest. Basically, just you knew every year your $5,000 was going to make you $500 a year. Basically is what it amounted to. Well, that worked. And you were supposed to lock it in for 5 years. That was kind of the deal. You'd put your money in. And of course, there were deals made with other people. You could put in higher amounts for lesser time or lesser, you know. The problem with just wanting it wasn't like a bank. This is an investment where you had to put the money in and lock it in for a few years because the equipment had to be purchased. And if you're going to pull your money out, well, now the equipment has to be sold. And the equipment can just be sold overnight. So it's not like you can just walk up and ask for your money back. Things were going pretty well with that, and the investment, you know, the cash flow was good. There was it was solid. We had investors, and things were going well. One individual caught word, and this is before the internet was really big. One individual caught word that because it was from a former employee of mine who was disgruntled. Apparently, got word passed around in his area that I had a Ponzi scheme going on. He wanted his money right away. He requested his money. I think it was in the morning. It was one morning. It was like a Thursday morning, something like that. It wasn't the end of the week. I know it was middle of the week sometimes, Wednesday or Thursday morning. It was Wednesday or Thursday morning. He said, I'm concerned about the investment, and I want to get my money out of it. I met him that afternoon with a check, gave him his money back. Now, did that hurt my business? Absolutely, it did. As I gave him the check back, I gave him the money back. In fact, I gave him a money order. He seemed stunned by that. He assumed it was going to be a big hassle to get his money back because of everything he had heard. It was almost as if he didn't want me to give the money back to him when I got there. But by golly, he's going to get his money back because I needed to put an end to these rumors now. Because we had our money invested in actual equipment. The problem was that was our operating capital. Now we are pinched again. And I needed to find a new investor to replace him. Because we had expenses. We weren't just moving money around. We actually owned things. There were assets. And we had to take care of those assets. This guy, I don't blame the guy who wanted his money back, even though he reneged on his deal, because he was supposed to keep it in for 3 years. And he kept it in for maybe a year. I don't even think it was a year. I don't blame him for that. I blame the guy who was spreading the rumors. Now, that guy probably could have been instrumental in bringing other people into the company. Instead, he pulled his money out and then didn't encourage anyone else to do so, you know, to invest their money. It was kind of the beginning of the end of that particular organization, because it really set the wheels in motion to go the other direction. The economy wasn't doing all that great at that time. And we were looking for larger investors, because we were going to get bigger equipment and more expensive equipment. And we were on the verge of doing that, and I just decided to just shut it down. Because this could happen on a larger level, and then what are we going to do? Get $2 million invested in some piece of equipment, and all of a sudden somebody wants their $1 million back. Well, that's not going to happen overnight. Now, you're still operating on a fairly thin profit margin, fairly thin, you know, operational margin. You might be going through $500,000 in a year, but you're looking at maybe making $30,000 or $40,000 in that year, maybe less sometimes. Sometimes you're spending more than $500,000 a year. My largest year of income as a business owner, I spent more than I made. Doesn't take much. You can just spend a couple thousand dollars more than you make. It doesn't matter if you make $1 million. If you spend $1,000,002, you've lost $2,000. You're $2,000 in the hole. Got all this money passing through your hands. And at the end of the day, your books say that you've paid out $2,000 out of your pocket that you started with at the beginning of the year. And everybody looks at you and says, look at all the money he's making. Look at all the money I'm spending. Stuff doesn't just happen. That's why not everybody's doing it. Yeah. So that's kind of the way things happen. And it's a lesson learned. I would do it again today, but there would be some very different rules in place. It would involve escrow accounts. It would involve all kinds of legal matters that would put me out of touch with some of the things that were going on. And these people would know that their money would be locked in for 5 years, and it would be, you know, there'd be lawyers involved in a whole thing. But that's the way that would work. And I think it's a viable business plan. It worked very well, because I didn't owe the banks anything. It was a peer-to-peer kind of investment type thing. It was more of a silent partner kind of arrangement. And you could have several silent partners, and nobody knew who the partners were. They weren't on the board. There wasn't this meeting with the investors. And you could be sitting down to have dinner with somebody, not even know that they were part of the same organization or that they were invested in the same thing. It was just that part of it was kept very, very confidential. They could tell them if they wanted to. There wasn't any public list. Now, having said all that, I don't even know where I was. What was I talking about? I got into that kind of thing. Well, the FTX thing, Ponzi scheme. Now, this guy was actually, this was an actual legitimate Ponzi scheme. It's fooling everybody. The problem here is that most banking institutions do exactly the same thing. They play with your money. They play the game all day long with this. All this whole thing is all a game. And it's all political theater, as I've talked about before. And this guy was even interviewed saying, this Bankman kid was interviewed, and he was saying how, you know, it kind of sucks for some people, but that's, you know, this is before he got, you know, found out. He was talking about the altruism, the virtue signaling, the using. Now this is what was interesting about this is that one of the people who was commenting on this was saying how most cryptocurrency and most crypto markets try to stay away from regulation. They try to go, they try to run the other direction. They try to, it's like the anti-regulation people, the people that want to have a currency that's outside the system. This kid was the other, he went the other direction with it. He had Wall Street and politicians clamoring for his attention because he was willing to be regulated. He was playing the game that the regulators wanted him to play. And because of that, they thought, oh, this guy's, he's on the up and up. And he's playing ball with us. He was the one who actually let them in the door for trading on Wall Street for cryptocurrency. Now, maybe this was an attempt to destroy confidence in the crypto market. Of course, now the U.S. government, I think, is talking about it. Their own digital currency. We're talking about our own digital. No, it's not a. No, this isn't the same. The digital currency that the U.S. is talking about, there's no intrinsic value in it. They're just talking about digitizing our currency now, as it is. It's our most of it's digital anyway. I don't handle even probably 80% of the cash I spend. The things I spend money on is not handled via check or cash. It's handled via my credit card. And it's all done in the digital realm. I tap my little credit card on a little machine. It pays my bill. It goes to my bank and takes something off my ledger in my bank. And it puts it in the ledger of that other person's bank. No cash anywhere. Government loves that in so many ways. They would love for it all to be that way because then they can keep track of it all. They know what kind of food you eat. They know where you shop. And it's not just the government that wants to know this stuff. It's the marketing moguls who want to know this. And this is where it really gets scary, is that places like Google and Amazon, Walmart, any kind of store out there, Visa, MasterCard now, are reporting what you're buying. If you go to the gun store and buy a gun with your credit card, guess what? They're giving up your information. This is what the big companies are doing. Amazon now is probably disclosing to the government what kind of things are being bought and sold on Amazon. They're probably selling this data to government institutions. So they know what you have. They know what you're purchasing. They know what kind of trends you have. See, because you're chattel to them. You're not a person. So one size fits all. Everybody has to fit the same mold. Oh, guess what? Everybody needs to have a vaccine. Well, you've already had COVID. Too bad. Because natural immunity doesn't count. Oh, yes, it does. In fact, Dr. John Campbell just came out with a very interesting talk this morning about natural immunity. And it's a very telling piece. And you can tell he's very, he tries to stay out of the whole political realm of things. He just looks at the numbers. But you can tell he's very disappointed that the government has tried to have a one-shoe-fits-all approach to the whole COVID thing. He talked about himself personally. He said, I had high blood pressure at one point. He went on this little medication. He said it took care of my high blood pressure. Not everybody should. He's talking about the idea, the principle of individualized medicine, that a doctor and a patient have, that's not just this herd mentality when we talk about treating people in general. That's what centralized, single-payer health insurance would lead to. They look at the numbers, and they tell you what you're allowed to have. It's not based on your individual needs. It's based on what the herd decides. that they hit this based on the numbers. This is what you get. You'll get a day more in the hospital. Well, this person is a little bit weaker. They have these other issues. Nope. This is what you get. This is what you had. This is the operation that you had. This is the procedure you had. So this is what you get. You get 2 days in the hospital and you're out and you're done. I'm not going to pay for any more. That's the way that stuff works. There's no customization. There's no doctor to patient kind of recommendation on what that person needs, what's best for them. So this is what we have now. This is where we're going now. On some interesting news about the election, just to, you know, because election results keep coming in. Lauren Boebert. There it is. I think she's from Colorado. She has now won her House seat. Now, I don't know for sure. I believe there's going to be a recount. She's pretty confident she's going to win the recount. Of course, if they find other votes now that were in the trunk of somebody's car in a suitcase, then I'm sure those will all be Democrat votes. There's more evidence now. More and more of it, anyway. But this whole early voting thing and the mail-in voting is a major machine, part of the machine on the left, where it enables them to harvest votes, basically, is what it amounts to. They can print. In fact, in Michigan, they're talking about printing ballots for every single voter. Every single registered voter would get a ballot in the mail. Now, I'm all for everybody engaging in the voting process. Everybody who's registered to vote, make it as easy as possible for them to vote. I have no problem with that whatsoever. The problem I have with that is the incompetence of the system to do it accurately and legitimately. There's time after time, example after example of, we accidentally mailed out 250,000 ballots to people who weren't registered to vote. We mailed out ballots, 3 or 4 ballots to the same person. Oops. And they all just happened to be Democrats. It's just, it creates this incredible opportunity for them to flood the state in certain areas with lots of ballots. During the 2020 election, some very strange anomalies were happening. One of them was that people who hadn't voted found out that they voted. They went in and checked the register and found out, my dad voted and he's in a nursing home. He doesn't even know who he is. And they claimed he voted. He's there on the record for having voted. How'd that happen? This is over and over and over and over again. This is thousands of people who said this. And the elections are tight. They're close. Sometimes 100 votes make all the difference. And here we have all these ballots out there awash in the state. Even being mailed to people outside the state. People voting in more than one state. And they want to have a popular vote for the president. Where all they would have to do, is overprint the ballots by a couple million and spread them out in a couple of the really large cities. And now the cities are running the country, not the rest of the country. Yeah. Is it a perfect system the way it is? No. Could it be made better? Absolutely could. Is the way the left wants to take it better? No, it is absolutely not better. Absolutely not. and the way they're trying to take it, and then all the meanwhile they're saying it's disenfranchisement because you're trying to suppress the vote by making people have an ID in order to vote. This democracy that they claim is so sacred and so important, and yet you don't even have to have an ID to do it. Go down to the library, see if you can get a library card, not an ID. See if you can get a driver's license. You know, the new, what they call the new one, it's a star driver's license or whatever, the new whatever it is, so you can travel on an airplane. See if you can do that without identifying who you are. You got to show up with three pieces of mail that have your name and address on it with a bill. And I've got a passport. I've got my driver's license. I got all kinds of other ID. But all of a sudden, I can't get a new driver's license without all this stuff. But I can go down and vote. All you got to do is request a mail-in ballot, and you can go. You can send that in, and you can go down and you can send several of those in, and you can go down there and vote yourself, you know, personally, a couple times, a couple different districts. It's just nuts. It's just nuts. Now, not in the state of Indiana. Can't do that here. They do require an ID here in the state of Indiana now, which seems to help. However, that doesn't help that much with mail-in ballot. So they don't have a good system for validating that stuff, which is what causes all the corruption. It's got to be fixed. Interesting stuff. So, I digress. And I also hear my music coming in rather abruptly there. I got to talk to that engineer. Has anybody fired that guy yet? I think he's still here. Well, if I ever see that guy, his head's going to roll. That's my plan. Not even sure what that means. I think that means you. Yeah, it's probably. I probably shouldn't go there. Yeah. Folks, it was supposed to be a short show. It turned out to be a little bit longer than more. So you got more than your money's worth today. Appreciate you listening. Appreciate you subscribing, listening. Praying for our nation. Pray for us this week as we go throughout our day. And all the stuff that's happening. Once again, folks, God bless. Take care. Have a great week. There's still more songs.